It's always an honor to be able to come before you and share a few words from the scripture. We have as our theme this month, church. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on this card stock. It's in the back. And when I thought about this theme, I thought, well, that's pretty broad. Just a topic of church. What's that going to be about? So I started to look over the studies, and week one is building up its members, and I'll talk a little bit about that since today would be the start of week one for that. Protecting its members, week three will be worship of God, and week four to save people, meaning the purpose for the church. I would hope that after I'm done with tonight's presentation that each member will find your unique reasons for becoming a member of the church and tie that to some lasting, shared, spiritually aligned reasons for being devoted to the church. You know, as long as I can remember, I'd always gone to church. And not the church, but an assembly of believers who talked about God and spiritual matters. I've always been affiliated with that as a kid. So the religion of choice growing up for us was the Baptist church. And I can remember, I remember a lot of things in the Baptist church. I remember the music. I remember the food. There's nothing like church cooking. I'm just here to tell you. And it still is nothing like church cooking. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I remember the food. And you know what? What the Baptist church also remember the drama. You know, grown people falling out. You guys, some of you don't know anything about this, but just grown people falling out into the floor and waddling about and whatnot because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, yeah, drama. I remember those things, and as I got older, my mom discovered the Church of Christ through a door-knocking campaign. They came to the house and talked to her, asked if she believed in God, and went through kind of the series of Bible studies with her, and for it, she became a Christian. And she would become a Christian before we would. In fact, she would, and again, I'm talking about a single-parent home dynamic. This is just how interesting it was, right? She would become a Christian, but didn't want to, you know, sway or I don't know, influence us beyond what the scripture had to say about us becoming Christians. So she would go to the Church of Christ, and we would go to the New Light Baptist Church. She would literally drop us off at New Light Baptist Church because that's where our friends were. That's where we grew up. We had family there. But she became this Church of Christ Christian, would go to the Highland Street Church of Christ in Las Vegas. It was kind of odd, you know, because you get dropped off to go to church and then she'd go somewhere else and then come back and pick us up. Until that became, it wasn't feasible because she would worry about us and whatnot. She said, and then she finally said, you can go here. Doesn't mean you have to become a Christian, but I need to have you with me. Yeah, that made sense. So then we started going to this strange new church called the Church of Christ. And what made it strange, it was a stark contrast to the music, the food, the drama of the Baptist church. Everybody was seated in pews, and it was all orderly. There was like book, chapter, and verse, BCV. That was the first time I'd ever heard that, actually, BCV. And the first time I heard it and understood how it was a difference, BCV, book, chapter, and verse. All of you know this acronym, right? A difference between BCV and your opinion or feeling about a thing. And so then we'd get scriptures, because in order to have book, chapter, and verse, you have to have book, chapter, and verse. We reread a lot of scriptures. It was a little overwhelming. It was like, well, why do you keep reading scripture? Scripture for everything. It's like the preacher would go so far and he'd read a scripture, and in fact they had another gentleman would read the scripture. He would ask for the scripture, another gentleman would read the scripture, and he'd read it right after him, like an echo. So it made it audible and intentional that we're reading from the Word of God, and this is what it has to say. So that was different. That was different. And all of a sudden, as I'm now actually learning the Word of God because of this focus on book, chapter, and verse. It's a little different than what I've experienced in the Baptist church. And then spiritual matters, they weren't opinions anymore. It used to be a story time. Kind of like what I'm doing now. I haven't given you scripture yet. I'm just giving you a little bit of story time. But imagine this for an hour and a half. That's kind of what the Baptist, you get one scripture and you get story time for about an hour and a half. And that was what it was. This changed my awareness of the Word of God. Then it evolved. Spiritual matters evolved as a matter of fact because it was book, chapter, and verse to support it. So, and it wasn't distracted by a cloud of emotions. It wasn't distracted by a cloud of music, wafting food coming out of the kitchen, and all those types of things that I do remember growing up. I was, thinking about this lesson, I asked my brothers and my sister, so why did you become a member of the church? I said, no judgment. I just sent him a text. I said, why? And that's why I brought my phone up, by the way, because some of this is hot off the press. And I thought you should know it. It's kind of interesting. So not all of us are still in the church. My mom had five boys, and there's one girl. And amongst us, it's just my sister and myself who are members of the Church of Christ, right? And then the rest are doing some things, if they're in church at all. At least one is having church, if you know what I'm saying by that, having church, going to church. They're not in the church, but they go to church. You with me? And so when I asked my sister, my sister said, Mama made us. This is the text. It's right here. It's fresh off the press, 3:46 p.m. tonight. So, because my question was, hey, fam, I'm bringing a lesson tonight about church as a topic. Please tell me why you went to church when we were kids, why you do or don't go now, and what will you do with church in the future? Please, no judgment or debate, just share your thoughts. Thanks. So to that, my sister said, Mama made us. And then she goes, God lives, spread it and keep going. And that was, that's Omega. She's kind of just, as a matter of fact, that's it. Okay, she's not going to give me an essay, which I like essays, but she's not doing it. And then my brother says, this is Chris, he's the one under me in age. He says, I went because I had to. Twice on Sunday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Tuesday night was singing night. Wednesday night was Bible class. Thursday night was family night. And then Saturday morning was men's training class. He says here, we went a lot. Exclamation marks, exclamation marks. So he says, I had friends there that I like to see. I haven't went through a major depression or lost direction. That was my story. Always felt a little conflict in the hypocrisy of it. I go nowadays when I wanna, not because I gotta. Okay, so that's a little bit his story. And then I shared mine. I said, I went to church because that's all I knew. It's all I knew. It was part of my community. As young as I can remember, we were in church. I genuinely wanted to be with Christians because I enjoyed being at the Highland Street Church of Christ with Mom and the family. I left because, now, if you don't already know this, I have shared this before. I left the church. I left the church because, and I'll read the rest of this to stay on topic, I left because I wanted to try something new, something that was the opposite of church lifestyle. I didn't know what that was. But I knew I didn't want to go every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday. Maybe that was it. I got a little overwhelmed, right? There was a lot of church in our growing up. I felt like that move spiraled me into depression. That's around the time when Larry gave me Boo, my cat. And if you don't know the story about Boo, you can talk to Nardia about it. It's okay. Or maybe not. She didn't like the cat. But I got Boo, and then I kind of got out of my depression with that. I went back, and I have stayed with the church ever since because I believe in God and the truth found in His Word that makes my life make sense. And I need things to make sense. It's what I shared with my family here. And, of course, I'm striving for that crown in heaven. No book, no chapter, no verse. Just a little bit of my testimony, right? What's your reason? What is the reason you joined the church? Has it evolved over time for your reasons for staying with the church? I should hope it has, because then, and with my experience through Vacation Bible School, another something I also remember, it was a lot of fun, opportunities I had that allowed me to do public speaking and try out, some leadership skills that I developed. And just, I was, as a young person, getting my roots in the Church of Christ that I had never had prior. And when I would speak, and make sense, because I'm going now from book, chapter, and verse. And one of the tenets of the Church of Christ that made me decide to become a Christian came out of Ephesians chapter 4:4, and all of you know this. You probably have it memorized, but we'll read it anyway. It was a foundational scripture for why I decided I'm going to make this my church home. But if you look in Ephesians 4:4, it says here, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All of that oneness. There was a clarity there that I didn't have to write. I didn't have anyone tell me. It wasn't an opinion. It wasn't a feeling. It was book, chapter, and verse. And then even that was proven by another book, chapter, and verse. So I thought, well, okay, that's interesting, because, there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of bodies. What are we talking about here? Well, just so it's clear, Ephesians 2:13 and through 16, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. It'll mention that again, Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 16. It says here, it says that, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near. Now that was personal. Just that statement then made it about me. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I understood the blood of Christ. I don't know if I understood its function. Because, again, one scripture and a whole story time. You didn't get a lot of meat on that bone, right? You got to find out about somebody else's. But this was book, chapter, and verse about the power of the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Now, I later would learn that that was the Ten Commandments and what that looked like. Something they had touted for as long as I could remember. We follow the Ten Commandments. That's what I grew up under. This was saying something different in the same Bible that I could read about the Ten Commandments in. It had my attention. It was book, chapter, and verse. It was spiritual matters as a matter of fact. that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, then would explain what the body meant. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. And mind you, when I'm discovering this, it was through a Bible study. I was being taught this. And that was another thing. To be taught something that I should be able, that I could understand, number one. That was fascinating to me. It made sense. I couldn't refute it. There was... So, another kind of tenet, if you will, of the church and the soundness of the word. But I'm looking at it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, if indeed you continue in faith, in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you are that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. I'm reading. Did I read the right one? Colossians 1:24. Hang on. I'm sorry. Wrong scripture there. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Now I've tied the power of the blood of Christ to this body, which is the church. And it was just, I remember being fascinated by how the Bible qualified the body, and the body being one, and that there's one church. And there was even more scripture. That wasn't even all that they gave me. They gave me Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. So now I understood that in that one body, we're talking about the church. So let's look at Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Talking about Jesus. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. Book, chapter, and verse. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, from the dead, and in everything he might, and that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I was hooked. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Because that's coming out, that wasn't story time. That was spiritual matters as a matter of fact. And now the Church of Christ, for bearing the name Christ proclaiming, right, or the proclamation as a church, right? That made it make sense. It wasn't the New Light Baptist Church. It wasn't Church of Gary or whatever name other else that I've seen, and I've seen a lot. There's a lot out there. Simple and pure. The Church of Christ. So I became a Christian, and when I decided to do that and walk down the aisle and become a Christian, my brother followed me, the three of us. So there's three elders. There's me, Larry, and Darius. So we're all about an age, 1 year apart. 1 year and a day. 1 year and a day. So 1 day out of the year, we're the same age. Yeah. Gary, Larry, and Darius. It's true. Well, my mom had a sense of humor, the biological system, right? And so I'm going down because I'm sure I'm going to do this. And they were like, oh, I won't be here by myself. I'm going to go too. Because, you know, it's a whole big production. You got water and there's lights. And it's just, you know, so the three of us actually all came down together. And we answered the call. And yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and ready to give my life, and we all went and we got baptized. Then there was life after that. And we were very young. And young meant you didn't know what you didn't know, right? I didn't know about the world, and we'd been to church a lot. So I left, came back, and I shared that with you. Some of my brothers, well, they didn't stay with it. They became fascinated by their investigation of life outside of church. But then there was coming back and what that meant for me. I had established roots even before I left that would bring me back home to the church. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 If I didn't know what I didn't know as a young person becoming a Christian at that age, as I got older and got to find out about what the world was like, I could know what devotion and commitment to at a young age still comparable, right? I'm 56 now. But at a young age then, I could know I'm not ever leaving this place. And it's because of what I read here. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, Colossians says. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught as a young person, right? For me, anyway, making it relatable. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition. All of this stuff was happening to try my devotion to God, to try my devotion to the church. According to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him. I was eating meat now with this. I was no longer a babe in Christ. God allowed me to understand what this meant. To be devoted to the church. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, it made my baptism make sense. Why the water? I don't know. That's just what they do. I don't know. And after I became a Christian, I came back. I understood more of what that was doing for my life. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespass. You know, while I was out on this sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, hiatus of discovery, because I was young and didn't know what was out there other than my church life that I'd lived throughout all my life. If I could go back, you know, you ever have that statement, if I could go back and tell my younger self a thing or two, it would have been not to make that move and leave the church. Still struggling to some, not as much as I used to be, but to some degree, it's just, you know, the consequences of sin. are lasting. You might get forgiveness, but the consequences of sin are lasting. So be careful, young people, in your desire to know other than the church and what this lifestyle is presenting to you. Because while you'll get forgiveness for your sin, the consequences of it could be catastrophic and lasting. But for the power of the Word of God, made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. This was refreshing that I was not only as good as the, you know, I could be better, right? I could be better than my worst mistake and still make heaven my home. That was refreshing. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Again, we're talking a little bit the Ten Commandments here. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, and by triumphing over them in him, in his day. That was that example still makes us alive in Christ today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Some more tenets of the church that established my growth in as a young person. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 24. In fact, that's also on our card too. Therefore, brothers, I have to read up a little further. Let's go to 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, the power of that blood again, the power of that blood to give you confidence. I didn't know what that confidence meant until I got a little older. And more, it's clearer, clearer, and clearer still to me. There's something about the truth that allows you to be confident when you speak, book, chapter, and verse, when you live, book, chapter, and verse. There's a confidence that you can have because of what is read here. It says here, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's the devotion. That's the devotion that is required to withstand the world and all it will come that it will do to try to distract you from being a Christian. Full assurance of faith with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, if all that good stuff is a reason why I'm devoted to the church, there's the personal desire to grow and be better today than I was yesterday that keeps me coming through those doors every time we assemble. Because the Word of God for this growth trajectory is new every morning. The same word you read last year looks new again today. Why is that? Because you're striving for heaven. You're striving to perfect the goodness in you. You haven't figured it out. You're not a one and done. I'm good. I heard a few good things. I'm good to go. You know, there's some people don't like the order of the church, don't like the rules, don't like the book, chapter, and verse. They don't care for this. Okay? They figure they're good enough on their own. What makes them better as people out there in the world? They find other good people that they align themselves with, and they just kind of go along, and everything's good enough for them. And it's not going to make heaven their home, but it's good enough for them. Some people like life good enough. I want life confident. I want to be confidently good. Does that make sense? Not perfect, because I mean, I strive for that. But the kind of confident good that can make heaven my home, you understand? Good comes from God. He is the standard of what is good. So good by his standard is a confidence that can get you into heaven. So, full assurance of faith with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience of our conscience and our bodies washed pure with the pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Amen? Because, well, I love you home. I'm not going there unless you invite me. Okay? So if there's good in you that can stir me up to righteousness, how am I going to get it? We're going to get together and talk about it. We're going to eat each other's house. What are we going to do? Hospitality has its limits. Here, we're going to focus on the Word of God. You see. Lest I could have stayed at the Baptist church eating, you know, church cooking. Okay? There's a difference. There's a focus here when we assemble. And it hits differently. This is why, this is, again, some people, they don't care for this. You know, you've heard, I've heard it when I've tried to talk to some people at work. I don't like organized religion. You know what I mean? I don't like that organized religion. I say, you're a little hellion. I get a disorganized religion, but find one of them. Get somewhere, because you need Jesus. I would tell them, I like organized. I get a disorganized religion then. What does that look like? But they don't. They don't like structure. They don't want rules and whatnot. They don't want, they're good enough, right? But not with the confidence, not by the standard of who gives good, who is good. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. There's a reason why we can't neglect this church. The reason why. Because I need the good that you have learned. Right? Because I'm good where I'm at, but I'm even better if I'm looking at your example. And I'm hearing you articulate your understanding of what is good because, I don't know, we had a Bible study together and you started talking. And then I listen. You know, this is telling us what to do, and you're telling me how you did it. That's different, you see. That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of coming together. So the scripture tells us not to neglect to meet together, as it is the habit of some. Oh, it is if the Bible knows us. Pause. I take my glasses off so I don't see very well. Yeah, that's okay. I'm preaching to the choir today, so y'all here. I'm talking about those who aren't here and think it's okay. They're being good enough to know the difference. Because when you assemble and you're learning this, what is the truth, you're being confidently good according to God's standard. You see, there's a difference. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near, if we're lucky. We're not, none of us, right? None of us is getting out of this alive, if we're lucky. Okay? Last and final scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists, the the shepherds and the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This isn't just good enough. This is the confidence we need to get to heaven. This is the standard we need to get to heaven. And it ought to be that excellent, because the sacrifice was that pure. The sacrifice was that excellent. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus to die for us, you see. We wouldn't need the blood of Christ. We could just do it. And there are a lot of people that are just doing it, being good by their own standards. Rest assured, they're only being good enough. We've got to make heaven our home. That standard of good hits different. And that's why we're church. Amen? That is why we come together. We can't even do that on our we can't even do that on our own. Mind you? Yeah, see, you know, amen me or the walls will. Amen. Okay? So the point of the scripture is saying, you can, well, what about, I can just go to church. You know, look, I'm telling you what. This work from home got us twisted. You just gonna go to church from home. I can worship God anywhere. I just worship him at home. The Bible says to come together, there's a reason for that. Because how you're able to digest this and be an example of what excellence is in goodness, what the confidence is in goodness, for all that you've been through in your life, and everybody's story is personal. That teaches. You're a teacher, did you know? Every time we come into Bible class, you're teaching. Every time you offer an opinion because you understood what the Word of God said, and you give a testimony of your life for how you're putting what the Scripture says into reality. That stirs us up towards righteousness. I'm going to be like that when I grow up. I'm going to be like that. You're going to get that in church. To mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves carried about by wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, being good enough. Because the devil's busy. You don't think he knows about the good enough standard? Told Eve, he says, go ahead, take that fruit. That's good enough. That looks good. Looks good to the eye. Humans. Deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. Amen. So that it builds itself up in love. The church has a purpose. As members of the church, remember your purpose. When you come here, it's not to be entertained, not to have food wafting in the air. It's to stir each other up toward a level of excellence for good that can get you from here to heaven. And that's a work every day. The Word of God you get to learn, or we get to learn for it, is new every morning. So I hope that this lesson encouraged you about the upcoming discussions we'll have about the topic of church. and helps to restore your spirit. If it is at all looking at some of the attendance strain through COVID and all this other things that's going on in the world, or the world itself, and all this distraction that Satan is putting out there for us. If it has all got your focus away from the purpose of the church, I hope this lessons and this series of lessons remind you of why you're here. And helps you to grow stronger for God and have that standard of excellence of good that he calls you to. If you have been distracted and need prayers, we're here for that as well. While together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.